And more health news, a report on long-acting reversible contraception aired on ABC's 7:30 this Tuesday has come under fire from medical practitioners and family planning advocates for taking an unbalanced view of the side effects caused by those devices. Danielle Daly reports.
Professor Kirsten Black has specialised in studying long-acting reversible contraception and explained to us how these types of contraception work and the potential side effects.
Long-acting reversible contraception comprises the contraceptive implant, the copper intrauterine device, and the levonorgestrel intrauterine system, which is known as Mirena. There is a risk of infection with IUDs, but it's really only around the time of insertion. So if you screen women well, the risk in low-risk populations of infection is very low indeed. So highly reliable contraception for up to 10 years and reversible, so you take it out, you know, your fertility returns. There's the hormonal intrauterine system, which has been around for more than 20 years. Some women do experience some side effects. Some women do get some crampy pelvic pain, and some women get ongoing irregular bleeding. But if you look at all the studies, and there was one big study in the US where they followed women up for a year after starting these different types of IUDs, you know, continuation rates were somewhere between 85 and 95%, meaning, you know, that's a reflection on satisfaction. The vast majority of women are really happy with these devices and don't experience major side effects. The implant does have documented more side effects than the intrauterine devices, can cause mood changes, such as depression. It can cause irregular bleeding. Some women do get headaches, and there's obviously sometimes you can get infections at the site of insertion. If women are given informed consent about the benefits and risks, the huge benefit of being so reliable and being not something you have to use every day seems to outweigh the risks of side effects. So in this American study, 7,000 women were given information about all the different contraceptive methods, the implants, the IUDs, the pills, the rings. 70% of them chose an intrauterine device or implant. So in Australia, by contrast, you know, we have rates of use of the IUD around 6% and the implant is around 5%.
But she says these types of contraception are more likely to be continued with than the contraceptive pill.
That continuation rate is higher than the continuation for the oral contraceptive pill, for example. These methods don't suit everyone by any stretch of the imagination. There are many women who actually have very positive experience of them. There's women who don't have positive experiences and they, you know, the device, they should be listened to and the devices should be removed.
Amanda Bradley, manager of Children by Choice, says while she hopes the story won't affect the take-up of long-acting contraceptives, many women are still influenced by hearsay when choosing birth control.
My hope is that it won't have an effect, but we know that sometimes there's a fine line between personal experience and I'll call them the women's circles, where social media and our normal interactions with our friends, we do tell stories, personal stories about our experiences, and they might be our experiences of our menstrual cycle, they might be our experiences of childbirth, they might be our experiences of using contraception. A personal experience about a certain medical intervention does not make for evidence that it is effective or it isn't effective. So we've got to be really careful about how we present information to women so that they do feel like they've got control over that decision. And a few cases of negative experiences is not evidence that will be the experience of any woman that chooses that method of contraception. And we could apply that to any kind of medical intervention. We could apply that to having a knee replacement. We could apply that to having a colonoscopy. We could apply that to having our wisdom teeth removed. We all know people who've had negative experiences of those things, but that doesn't mean to say that that is not a recommended treatment for that person.
Professor Black shares these concerns, citing a misrepresented report on the pill in 1995 having significant consequences on women's fertility, as well as public health costs.
What happened in 1995 was that the risk of blood clots was highlighted for a particular type of pill, and the absolute risk of this was very small. It was like 35 in 100,000 women, but it was slightly increased over other pills, and the reporting was misleading and really blew out the risk enormously. So that actually led to a huge increase in births and abortions in the UK, which estimated cost the government $21 million for maternity care and $46 million for abortion provision. In actual fact, if you look at the data objectively, the risk of a blood clot is much, much higher to be pregnant and I have a baby than it is actually to take a particular pill. So essentially, you know, the same message here is that I think that we need to balance the individual risks and population risks more carefully, and, you know, the advice should be more carefully presented in the interests of kind of both personal and public health.
That story was by Danielle Daly.